Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes after the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 11th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and it is a kind of sexual immorality that not even the Gentiles practice. A man has his father's wife. Yet you are proud. Shouldn't you have been filled with sorrow, so that the man who did this deed would be removed from among you? Even though I am absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as one who is present, I have already decided about the man who has done such a thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit is there, along with the power of our Lord Jesus, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Purge out the old yeast, so that you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, namely Christ. So let us keep celebrating the festival, not with old yeast, not with the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral, I did not at all mean the sexually immoral people of this world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters, for then you would have to leave the world. But in this situation, I wrote to you not to associate with anyone who is called a brother, if he is sexually immoral, or greedy, or an idolater, or verbally abusive, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. For what business is it of mine to judge people outside the church? Do you not judge those inside? God will judge the people outside the church. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. This is the word of our God. And so after laying four chapters of foundational, basic concepts that they really should have comprehended and should have had straight but didn't, especially talking about the foolishness of God being found in the gospel of Christ, and that God's servants and God's ministers are servants of Him and not of the people, and that they steward God's mysteries, that is, the things that cannot be perceived by human reason or power, that God's servants are stewards of mysteries and God's mysteries for the good of God's people. After getting all that straight and hopefully quashing any idea of favoritism or of trying to judge effectiveness based on, conversions and confirmations, after all that, Paul says, okay, now let's talk about the next problem, that they are celebrating this man who is carrying on a very blatant, very open type of sin, and not just, ignore it and looking the other way and hoping that it doesn't affect them, but kind of patting themselves on the back and saying, aren't we progressive and aren't we forward thinking? Here's this man who's sleeping with his stepmom, and well, that's just the way things are these days. This entire chapter, and really the entire book, kind of brings to mind our own present culture, where sin, and especially sin that maybe wasn't talked about or even conceived of, at least not in public, 20 years ago or 50 years ago or 100 years ago, where now it's being celebrated. And how is a Christian supposed to respond to that? And there are two things that Paul highlights. First of all, your primary care is for the church. They share their fellowship together. They've confessed their faith together. They do things together. They are in fellowship together. And fellowship isn't a pick-and-choose kind of buffet. It's an all-or-nothing proposition, both in what we believe and what we don't believe, and in what we do and what we don't do. So there aren't levels of fellowship. There's either you are in fellowship or not. And within this fellowship of the church, it is our responsibility to announce to them, announce to each other what God has said about these things. We do not pronounce as though we tell God to step aside from the judge's seat and let me take the judge's seat and pass judgment and carry it out and be the one who has the final say. But we also are not shy about announcing what God has said, that when God calls something a sin, it is a sin. And we are not shy about announcing that for the purpose of bringing someone to repentance. But we aren't there to stand in God's stead We simply announce what God has said, exactly as Paul has said in every chapter up to this point, that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We announce what he has given to us. And God is the one who has pronounced, who has decreed and decided what is sinful and what is not. And we simply bear witness to that fact. So first of all, our primary care and concern is for those within the church. And then secondly, of secondary care and concern is those outside the church. And the goal there isn't just a change of behavior or behavior modification, because if this man were not in the church and he changed his ways and he stopped sleeping with his stepmother, but he was still not a believer, not a Christian, then he would just be as equally lost. And so our attitude toward those outside the church is not the same type of judgment. It is definitely aware of what sin is and isn't, and calls sin what it is, but our primary goal with those outside the church is to bear witness to them in what the Bible says about sin in general and about Jesus as the Savior from sin. That's our primary goal and our primary concern. And so when Paul speaks here about judgment for this man and putting him out of the church and handing him over to Satan, you're like, oh my goodness, that sounds terrible. Why would God want us to do that? Hasn't he called us to preach the gospel? Isn't God a God of love? Most certainly, God is a God of love. And that same God of love gave his life to save you from eternal death. He doesn't want you to lose your faith by persistent, unrepentant sin. And so when Paul says, hand this man over to Satan, it's supposed to be a temporary thing so that this man really experiences life apart from Christ and life outside the fellowship of the church and what life is like without God, so that hopefully sin wreaks its havoc and gets worse and the man repents and the man realizes how terrible life must be for those outside of God's church, and he ought to repent and return. Verse 12. For what business is it of mine to judge people outside of the church? Do you not judge those inside? God will judge the people outside, but remove the wicked man from among yourselves. And so a couple of our other ideas that come in contact with this is our, first of all, our confession of faith. Our confession of faith is a confession of talk and a confession of walk. Our confession of talk is what we say we believe. Our confession of walk is what we actually do. So in this case, 1 Corinthians 5, their confession of talk is that they say, or at least said at one point, that sexual activity is reserved for a man and woman in marriage. And their confession of walk was that here's a man carrying on sexually outside of his marriage, obviously with somebody who's not his wife, and even the pagans around them would recoil in disgust at it. And here their confession of walk was being blurred by their acceptance and approval and celebration of what this man had been doing. And so Paul says, bring your confession of walk back in line with your confession of talk, and make sure that your confession of talk is founded firmly on the Word of God. And then secondly, kind of in connection with that, we bear witness to our confession of talk and confession of walk by the action we take toward others. Verse 11, in this situation, talking about with fellowship within the church and discipline within God's church, do not associate with anyone who is called a brother, that is a Christian, if he is sexually immoral, greedy, idolater, verbally abusive, drunkard, or swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. Wow. That we want to even change the details of our daily life in order to demonstrate to this person, I love you so much that I want you to understand and comprehend and feel even right now the tiniest hint of hell. And you might say, well, Pastor Hagin, that's so judgmental, and church is just a bunch of hypocrites, and yeah, who are you to judge me? Because you're sinful too. You've done bad things. That is true. And the law convicts us both. But right now, dear friend, in your unrepentance, you have turned your back on the faith that we have confessed in talk. And by your continued confession of walk away from our Lord and your confession of walk that is in contrast with our confession of talk, you have placed yourself outside of God's grace. And if there is another issue that I have done, whether it's, you know, heresy or one of these ongoing sins or unrepentant sins or sins that Paul mentions here as an unrepented thing, then by all means, please admonish me. And we will stand outside of God's grace together and until that day when he should work repentance in both of our hearts. But you cannot avoid the reality of what your confession of talk and confession of walk and how they are intertwined with one another and what they have wrought in your life. So repent today while there is still time. That's not the most fun. That's not one of the greatest joys of the pastoral ministry. You know, it doesn't rank up there with burying a very faithful and elderly member. It doesn't rank up there with baptizing a baby. It doesn't rank up there even with, you know, a first or second or third outreach visit to a new family or taking them through Bible instruction class or standing there at the altar. But it is just the same. Just the same in all of those cases where we want to testify to the reality, the spiritual reality and the mystery that cannot be perceived by human power or reason, that persistent sin places you outside of God's grace. And God calls you to repentance today. I'm sure we'll talk about that again and some more, especially as we get into the next chapter. But Paul is, you know, working his way down the hit parade of these sins which are tearing the congregation apart. And so he says, dear friends, come back to the mystery of God's grace for you in Christ, that he gave his life to make you his own. So let's confess that together and let us walk in that together. You can find us Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road, and likewise 9 a.m. at the same location, 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. God bless your day.